From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the book Pickers and Poets, The Ruthlessly Poetic Singer-Songwriters of Texas, with co-editor Craig Clifford.
Ride the blue wind high and free, she'll lead you down through misery. Leave you low, come time to go, alone and low as low can be. Well, if I had a nickel, I'd find a game. If I won a dollar, I'd make it rain. If it rained an ocean, I'd drink it dry and lay me down dissatisfied. It's legs to walk and thoughts to fly, eyes to laugh and lips to cry, a restless tongue to classify, all born to grow and grown to die.
That was Townes Van Zandt's Rex's Blues. Not one of his famous ones, but probably my favorite Townes song. Like most of his songs, it's very dark. A lot of people complain about that, but for some reason, seeing the darker side of human life through his eyes is uplifting. I'm not sure I can explain that, but that's the way I experience it. There's one line in that song, "There ain't no dark till something shines," which is kind of interesting. I don't think anybody's ever looked at it that way.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean. Now you wear your skin like iron, your breath's as hard as kerosene. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seems. She began to cry when you said goodbye, and sank into your dreams. Pancho was a bandit boy, his horse was fast as polished steel, wore his gun outside his pants, all the honest world to feel. Pancho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico, and nobody heard his dying words. But that's the way it goes. All the federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him hang around out of kindness, I suppose. Well, Lefty, he can't sing the blues all night long like he used to. The dust that Pancho bit down south ended up in Lefty's mouth. Day they laid poor Pancho low, left his split for Ohio, and where he got the bread to go, oh, there ain't nobody knows. And all the federales say they could have had him any day, and only let him slip away out of kindness, I suppose.
Townes Van Zandt, people will remember that he is the one that wrote the song Pancho and Lefty.
Yes.
The one that was put to the top of the charts by Willie and Merle. He says that that song was just came through him. He didn't write it. He's just the person that was that just channeled it.
Yeah, and that, I mean, artists have been saying that for several thousand years. And you know, I think there's some truth to it, why we call somebody a genius, because we can't really explain how they create the things they do. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, although Towns made up a lot of stuff too.
Cleveland's cold, so the story ends, we're told. Pancho, need your prayers, it's true, save a few for Lefty too. He just did what he had to do. Oh, now he's growing old. And a few great federales say they could have had him any day. You only let him go so wrong. Out of kindness, I suppose. A few gray federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him go so wrong. Out of kindness, I suppose.
In the official video with Willie and Merle, you know, Towns is all through it. You see him.
Yes, he's a cameo.
Well, more than that, you mean it shows you that, and that Willie recognized that not just a normal song from a songwriter, that there was a connection between the songwriter and that song.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, this term's overused, but everybody says he's a songwriter. And, you know, the bulk of his work, as brilliant as it is, will never be popular. And, you know, and that's fine. I mean, Faulkner's novels have not been read by many, but they're still brilliant. I mean, I think more of Towns' songs should have been hits than were. But yeah, you've got Pancho and Lefty. And if you think about that song, it sounds like, okay, this is kind of standard country, but it's a very mysterious song. I've had long arguments with people trying to explain exactly what is going on in that song. But then, If I Needed You, that Don Williams, I guess Emmylou Lou did that, was also a big hit. But, you know, other than those two, I mean, there are people that have recorded his songs, but yeah, those are the only two that really got a lot of attention. But, you know, every Texas songwriter who's serious about lyrics studies Towns.
Well, if I needed you, would you come to me? Would you come to me and ease my pain? If you need me, I would come to you. I would swim the seas for to ease your pain. Well, in the night forlorn, all the morning's born, and the morning shines with the lights of love. And you will miss sunrise if you close your eyes, and that would break my heart in two.
And we, you know, when we started trying to look for young Texas songwriters who were carrying on this tradition, you know, everybody we looked at who might be a candidate for that position, you can find videos of them on YouTube playing Towns Van Zandt songs. He's a powerful presence in Texas music. He kind of sabotaged himself a lot. So, you know, part of the reason that he wasn't, you know, a superstar is because of the way he lived. But, you know, that's what led to the songs he wrote, so you got to choose.
Was that what makes him such a romantic figure? Self-destructive behavior.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's, you know.
I mean, he's sort of like the martyred saint of pickers and poets.
Yeah, and you know, lots of artists, poets, songwriters.
He's like the James Dean. The James Dean of that.
Yeah. Okay. You could say that, I guess. But, I mean, yeah, that seems to be a pattern. It doesn't always happen.
Ease my pain. If you need. I would come to you. I would swim the seas for to ease your pain.
Well, let's talk about the title of your book, Pickers and Poets, The Ruthlessly Poetic Singer-Songwriters of Texas. Why ruthlessly?
The origin of that term is an essay I wrote for Langdon Review of the Arts. That's where the term ruthlessly poetic came up. I talk about Towns. I talk about my buddy David Rodriguez. Terry Allen, and the title of the essay is Too Weird for Kerrville, The Darker Side of Texas Music. The thing I said all three of them had in common is that they were ruthlessly poetic songwriters. Okay, what does that mean? I'm not sure I can tell you. That's why I came up with that phrase. It means that that's what these writers cared about, above all. I mean, Towns is the archetype of that. I mean, that's one of the reasons his life was such a mess. He cared about writing brilliant lyrics, poetic lyrics, to the detriment of lots of other things.
So they were uncompromising.
Yeah. And in our introduction, we actually make a little switch because we were looking at songwriters whose motives were, you know, really pure. I want to write great songs. I mean, Towns late in his life told a reporter, you know, he said, "Do you have anything left to do?" And he says, "I want to write songs that are so good I don't understand them." which I think he did.
Well, if I had no place to fall and I needed to, could I count on you to lay me down? Well, I'd never tell you no lies. I don't believe it's wise. You got pretty eyes. Won't you spin me round? I ain't much of a lover, it's true. Well, I'm here, then I'm gone, and I'm forever blue. But I'm sure wanting you.
What we really care about are the songs. And, you know, if you look at Kris Kristofferson, he had his eye on the, you know, the money prize early on, and he was very successful commercially as a songwriter. But, you know, if you say, okay, he's not as pure as Towns Van Zandt, so what? His songs are ruthlessly poetic. So we ended up saying what we really want to talk about is ruthlessly poetic songs, which means the lyrics are front and center. I don't think my editor and I think disagree a little bit about this, and I know a lot of people disagree. I don't think the songs of these songwriters are poems in the strict sense. Those are two genres that are real close to each other, but they're not the same. But you can certainly say these songwriters wrote lyrics that are ruthlessly poetic. And, you know, they the first generation of these songwriters studied the great poets. Towns and Guy would sit around and play their songs and turn to each other and say, "Our lyrics are really great." And then they would listen to an album of Dylan Thomas reading his poetry, and they would turn to each other and say, "Our lyrics really suck." Now, I don't think that's a fair comparison because the genres are different. But that tells you what they aspire to. They wanted their songs to be as poetic as Dylan Thomas's poetry.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio, speaking with Craig Clifford, professor of philosophy at Tarleton State University in Stephenville, Texas, co-editor of the book Pickers and Poets, The Ruthlessly Poetic Singer-Songwriters of Texas. This is Guy Clark's Randall Knife.
My father had a Randall knife. My mother gave it to him when he went off to World War II to save us all from ruin. Now, if you've ever held a Randall knife, you know my father well. If a better blade was ever made, it was probably forged in hell. My father was a good man. Lawyer by his trade. Only once did I ever see him misuse the blade. Well, it almost cut his thumb off when he took it for a tool. The knife was made for darker things, and you could not bend the rules. Well, he let me take it camping once on a Boy Scout jamboree. I broke a half an inch off trying to trying to stick it in a tree. Well, I hid it from him for a while, but the knife and he were one. And he put it in his bottom drawer without a hard word one.
You're trying to, pardon the pun, pick the lock, because it's about pickers and poets. But you're trying to pick the lock about what is about the Texas experience that created so many of these singer-songwriters from the state. And then I look at the ones that you include, and there are so many others. I wonder why, you know, why isn't Mac Davis in this group or other people?
Okay, that's a good question. I've actually thought about him. A lot of people are going to say, why isn't so-and-so in the book? And we probably missed some. I mean, we kind of went with our instincts. Mac Davis.
But your instincts are a certain aesthetic. There's a certain lane that you are wanting to highlight.
Right. Yeah, and this book, and Mac Davis doesn't fit. He's a really good songwriter. Okay, but this book is not about Texas singer-songwriters. It's about the ruthlessly poetic singer-songwriters. And the kind of a quick way to look at this is the first generation of these songwriters, they were what we used to call folk singers. They were doing in Texas what Bob Dylan was doing in Greenwich Village, except they were much more rooted in their own place. Dylan kind of ran away from his. But, you know, that was that period where people played solo acoustic in coffee houses, and, the lyrics really mattered. So, you know, Mac Davis doesn't fit that. Craig Hillis, my co-editor, played lead guitar for Jerry Jeff Walker, Steve Fromholtz, Michael Martin Murphy, and his essay is about those three writers. So, you know, his perspective is from being a musician who played with a bunch of these guys. They're central figures in his mind, and my central figures are probably Towns, Guy Clark, David Rodriguez.
Well, comfort me, said she, with your conversation, with the cocktails and the candlelight in your eye. It's funny how we hunger for some inspiration, and everything else daddy's money just won't buy. Men have lied, many good girls have gone astray, just to hear the gypsy play another lilting cowboy tune. And as the rivers run dry and the mountains blow away, it sings of lovers and how they lay beneath this crazy frontier moon. I ain't no golden boy, I ain't no Grecian dancer, I ain't no loudmouth cowboy from the West, and I'm not the kind of man with all the answers, but I surely know the songs that suit me best. Well, yes, and lately there's been something on my mind, growing stronger all the time. I call it out when I'm alone, but I'm a poet and I'm bound to walk the line between the real and the sublime, and give the muses back their own.
Well, let's talk about David Rodriguez.
Okay, I'd love to.
Because he's not as well known as some of these others.
No.
Tell the David Rodriguez story.
I met him in college. I was a rock and roll drummer in high school, and I met David. He was finger picking, playing folk songs, playing traditional folk songs, writing his own. And so basically, he turned me into a folk singer.
But he had polio as a child?
Yes. So he had, when I met him, he had a brace on one leg, and I believe.
Walk with a cane?
Yep, and from what I heard, late in his life, he was, it came back, and he was in a wheelchair. But I think...
So he was a haunted person?
Yes, and he, I say we were very good friends, but we also fought. At his memorial, all of his siblings got up and essentially said he was a music genius, We loved him, but he was really difficult.
Do you think we need to discover David Rodriguez? More people do?
I think he has a body of work that's as good as any of these songwriters.
Give me a song to play right now.
If I had to pick one, I would pick Hurricane, because it's about growing up in Houston. He grew up on the southeast side. It's just powerful images of growing up on the Gulf Coast. And it's about his father dying when he was in college.
Someone put a town up in the grasslands, and they dug a ditch to the Gulf of Mexico. And with the oil out of Beaumont and the cattle from the west, they built a city there for all the rest. And from mineral wells to Houston, it seems a long ways. But if you're looking for a home, it ain't too far. Grandma took the children, Grandpa took the train, Daddy rode along, and Sister Ruthie's arms. When the south wind blows in from the Gulf of Mexico, turn on your radio, 'cause it's that season again. It's summertime in Houston, and Lord, the ladies at midnight, when they start coming on like
Terry Allen, another.
Yeah.
Ruthlessly poetic. What makes him ruthlessly poetic?
Oh, Lord, he's ruthlessly everything. He's known by songwriters. Some of his songs have been recorded by more popular artists, but I think he's an absolute genius. Lubbock on Everything, which is a double album, starts in Texas, moves to California, kind of a satire of the art scene, because Terry Allen, is an artist. Really makes his living as an artist.
What does that mean? So Lubbock on Everything.
Hell if I know. Can I say hell?
Yeah.
Okay, hell if I know. I guess it just means... Okay, I'm just going to throw something out here. I guess it means he's looking at everything through the eyes of Lubbock. It's kind of strange, isn't it?
Well, it talks about the sense of place.
Yeah, I mean, Lubbock is the sense of place is absolute. Even when he's out in California, he's satirizing the art scene from the point of view of somebody who grew up in Lubbock.
Some call me high hand and some call me low hand, but I'm holding what I am, the wheel. 'Cause I'm panhandling, manhandling, purse holding, high rolling, dust bowling, daddy. And I ain't got no blood veins, just got them four lanes of heart.
What do you mean by too weird for Kerrville?
Oh, okay. That came from David Rodriguez. He claimed that all the people who got fired from Kerrville for various reasons.
At the Kerrville Folk Festival.
Kerrville Folk Festival, yes. Towns at one point, you know, was told not to come back because it wasn't family entertainment. That sounds a little strange. But anyway, David's version is people who, you know, were fired from Kerrville would go to a place in Austin. I think it was Tortilla Flats was the name of it. And they would have their counter festival, and they called their festival Too Weird for Kerrville.
It was, like, I guess, a rite of passage to be fired from Kerrville?
Well, in some people's minds, that's true. In many people's minds, it's a rite of passage to get to play there. But, yeah, for the real renegades like David, yeah, that's the way they looked at it.
Where are we going with this? We have a second generation, Steve Earle.
Steve Earle really studied, you know, at Towns' feet and Guy Clark's feet, and I love it.
Carrying on the tradition?
I mean, I think the second generation is more commercial, which doesn't take anything away from them, but, you know, kind of one foot in the commercial world. I mean, Robert Earl Keen and Lyle Lovett are great examples of that. I mean, you know, Robert Earl, at least at one time, was like the biggest star for the college crowd, and, you know, and he knew how to, you know, rile them up. But still, a really fine songwriter, influenced by the first generation. I'd say Steve Earle is probably the closest, but, you know, he did his garage rock band routine and you know, got to be a pretty big star. James McMurtry I would put in there, who's you know, more political, but, you know, has written some brilliant songs.
So let's finish out by listening to Steve Earle's Fort Worth Blues.
Okay, great. Great song.
Fort Worth, all neons burning bright, pretty lights, red and blue. But they shut down all the honky tonks tonight. I say a prayer to heaven only knew. Used to say the highway was your home, but we both know that ain't true. It's just the only place a man can go he don't know where he's traveling to. Colorado's always clean and healing, and Tennessee in spring's green and cool. It never really was your kind of town, but you went around with the Fort Worth Blues.
Craig Clifford is the co-editor of the book Pickers and Poets, the Ruthlessly Poetic Singer-Songwriters of Texas, published by Texas A&M University Press. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org, and you can write on our show page on our website at tpr.org. That's where you can listen to past Texas Matters programs, and you can find us on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.